Well, there was an awful lot, and that wasn't there. What do we want? Blessings or curses? I think I will take the blessings any day. I'm looking at this parasha today, and it says that if we're cursed, we're going to be deprived of the kingdom of Elohim. And as you know, I believe that we should be living today as if we are in the kingdom of Elohim now. So I want to commence this parasha by saying that I do not believe in the prophecies that are taking place as to Yeshua's imminent return this coming Yom Teruah, or of the Kingdom Now doctrine. So many people are telling me, oh, we're in a Shemitah year and Yeshua's going to return this Yom Kippur, and only the Father knows. Only the Father knows the time and the hour. I don't believe this world is anywhere near ready for Yeshua to return. There is far too much sin. You know, we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not ready for his return. And I don't believe either in Kingdom Now doctrine. I believe we should live as if we are presently in the kingdom, but not the Kingdom Now doctrine. And the reason I'm saying that is I do not believe that this world is at the stage of repentance needed for Yeshua to return. And the Kingdom Now group proposes that we choose to bring Yeshua back, which is definitely not scriptural. We never choose to bring him back. That's Yah's decision. And so we can never do that. It also teaches that we take over positions of power in this world and thereby rule the world. And that also is wrong. We have to be careful what we listen to. There are so many people and so many so-called prophets out there trying to tell us what is about to happen and what isn't about to happen. Just like the tsunami that was supposed to happen last weekend that didn't happen. You know, we've just got to be careful who we listen to and what we listen to, and make sure it sits right with our spirits. You know, Yah speaks to us, each and every one. He speaks to each and every one of you. And you get a check in your spirit if it's not from Yah. Listen to your spirit. The kingdom of Elohim is with us today. But opposed to the Kingdom Now doctrine, it is not a secular rulership and determining to make Yeshua's return occur today. The kingdom is not an observable kingdom. It is not tangible. It's not something that we can see and touch. It's something that is within us, which means it's spiritual, and it's also physical. It is physio-spiritual, and a physical channel to Yehovah and to his spirit is what we need. Yehovah, our Elohim, will enter this world as Yehovah's instruments. Yeshua will enter this world as Yehovah's instruments of righteousness. And he will put those instruments of righteousness within us as well. Yehoshua took Israel to the land of Canaan, which was Yehovah's promised land. It was with the kingdom of Elohim as the Tanakh, so to speak. Yah would bless the children of Israel as long as they would listen to him and obey his word and his will. But curses came upon those who refused to do his will, and we read all those today. We also read in Deuteronomy 27, verses 4 and 5, that when you have crossed the Yarden, you are to set up these stones as I am ordering you today on Mount Ebal, and put plaster on them. There you are to erect an altar to Yehovah your Elohim, an altar made of stones, and you are not to use any iron tool on them. No iron tool, no chisel was to touch those stones. This altar was not to be engineered by man. It was not man's work. It was Yehovah's work. These stones were to be placed and made into an altar, but they was placed in a way that they balanced themselves without anyone having to do anything with them to make them sit there. We also have an altar in a certain way called the Stake of Mashiach. We are blessed that Yeshua has returned. And when things go wrong, we put things at Yeshua's feet and we leave them there. We let him fix them and then he'll give them back to us all healed, all fixed and whatever. That is similar to what they did with their altar. The kingdom of Yehovah is not the work of man, just like Yeshua is not the work of man. And when we lay things at his feet, they can't be healed through the work of man. It's done through him interceding for us to the Father. It is not the true kingdom if you worked for what you enjoy in the assembly. It is your religious traditions engineered by you that can cause you to enjoy them. In Joshua chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, as Moshe, the servant of Yehovah, had ordered the people of Israel to do, this is written in the book of the Torah of Moshe, an altar of uncut stones that no one had touched with an iron tool, on it they offered burnt offerings to Yehovah and sacrificed peace offerings. Now the sacrifice of peace offerings, they were to eat themselves at that place where they'd sacrifice them. Moshe spoke to the children of Israel, saying that when you enter the land and set up these altars of blessings and cursings at Shechem, it was a matter of their choice whether it was to be an altar of blessing or an altar of cursing. We need to choose to be blessed. We have to make the choice. Do we want to be blessed or do we want to be cursed? Simple as that. I know I want to be blessed. Just listening to Yah and obeying his Torah will provide blessings upon you daily. The kingdom would then be all yours to enjoy. Receiving and enjoying his blessings now in our everyday situations is living in Yehovah's kingdom now. That's what I mean by kingdom living now. We're enjoying the blessings. We're enjoying everything that he provides for us. And we are seeing that happen so many times in so many people. In Yehoshua chapter 8 and verse 30, it says, then Yehoshua built an altar to Yehovah, the Elohim of Israel, on Mount Ebal. And later down in verse 33, then all Israel, including the leaders, the officials and judges, stood on either side of the ark in front of the Kohanim who were Leviim, and they carried the ark for the covenant of Yehovah. The foreigners, that is the Egyptians that came with them, were there along with the citizens. Half the people in front of Mount Gerizim and the other half in front of Mount Ebal, as Moshe, the servant of Yehovah, had ordered them earlier in connection with the blessings of the people of Israel. This is similar to as Yeshua had separated the sheep from the goats. The ark was what separated the blessing and the cursing. It was placed between both hilltops. They call them mountains, but when you go there, they're really only hilltops. So we inherit the kingdom right now and the blessings if we live by the word and according to the word to the best of our ability. The Torah is to us the foundation. It's like the foundation stone of everything. If we understand Torah, then the Ketuvim, the Navi'im, the prophets, the writings go on that, and then the Ketuvah HaShelekim goes on top of that. But the Torah is the absolute foundation upon everything, and whether it's the writings, the prophets, or the Ketuvah HaShelekim, it brings everyone right back to the Torah. So when things of Yah become a second priority to whatever we want to do, then we just evict ourselves from the kingdom. It's our choice. We either do what Yehovah's Torah says or we evict ourselves. Living in the kingdom now is being blessed by Yah and protected by him daily from the enemies of our souls and the enemies that want to kill to destroy us, as they try to do in Myanmar between the orphanage and their home, their church home. That was unbelievable, that bomb that went off between the two, and yet no one within that community was hurt. Yehovah's blessings are wonderful. They are, he is our protection. And it's living proof when we are protected like that, that we are in the kingdom now. You know, that, you know, I wrote that back to him, that this is proof that you are kingdom living now. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 28:7-17 that we read today, it says, Yehovah will cause your enemies attacking you to be defeated before you. They will advance on you one way and flee before you seven ways. Yehovah will order a blessing to be with you in your barns and in everything you undertake. He will bless you in the land Yehovah your Elohim is giving you. Yehovah will establish you as a people separated out for himself, as he has sworn to you. If, there's a condition, if you observe the mitzvot of Yehovah your Elohim and follow his ways. There is a condition. We have to observe his mitzvot. As you know, each mitzvot is only applicable to a certain, to each person. A woman's mitzvot is different to a man's. A leader's mitzvot is different to other people. A married person's mitzvot is different to a single person. All of it depends where you are, is which mitzvot you have to obey. And in slide 6, then all the peoples of the earth will see Yehovah's name. His presence is with you, so that they will be afraid of you. Yehovah will give you great abundance of good things, of the fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your land in the land Yehovah swore to your ancestors to give you. Yehovah will open for you his good treasure, the sky, and give your land its rain at the right seasons and bless everything you undertake. You will lend to many nations and not borrow. Yehovah will make you the head and not the tail. You will be only, you will never, sorry, I'll start that again. And you will be only above, never below. If you will listen to, observe, and obey the mitzvot of Yehovah your Elohim. And not to turn away from any of the words I'm ordering you today, neither to the right, to the left, to follow after other gods and to serve them. But if you refuse to pay attention to what Yehovah your Elohim says and do not observe and obey his mitzvot and regulations, which I'm giving you today, then all the following curses will be yours in abundance. A curse on you in the city, a curse on you in the countryside, a curse on your grain basket and kneading bowl, and it goes on. So as much as Israel was still Israel when they were taken captive into Babylon for disobedience to the word of Yehovah, Elohim's people are still Elohim's people, genuinely born anew, but living in defeat and condemnation because they do not live by his word and live outside the kingdom. Living in eternity with Yah requires a clean life. But when the Galatians, in Galatians 5, lists the works of the flesh and says that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom, it is speaking about not having the blessings upon your lives and living in defeat. So let's listen to what it says in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5:18-21. But if you are led by the Ruach, that is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then you are not in subjection to the system that results from perverting the Torah into legalism. We have to be careful we don't pervert it into legalism. It is perfectly evident that the old nature, what the old nature does. It expresses itself in sexual immorality, impurity and indecency, involvement with the occult and with drugs, in feuding, fighting, becoming jealous and getting angry, in selfish ambition, factionalism, intrigue, and envy, in drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you now, as I've warned you before, those who do such things will have no share in the kingdom of Yehovah. You can sit in a congregation, whether it's a Christian one or whether it's this one or whatever, but unless you're doing the right thing, and if you're doing any of those things, doesn't matter how long you sit in the congregation, you cannot enter into the kingdom. I think this scripture makes it pretty clear who will inherit the kingdom and what we are to avoid. It's very simple. It's just we have to avoid those things so that when we are sure that we are included in the kingdom. The sheep who inherit the kingdom of heaven are the saints who live by the word of Yehovah, his Torah, and therefore live by the word of Yehovah, which is his Torah, and therefore enjoy the blessings right now in their life. We will read next week from the Torah, from Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. It says, I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants. This is not similar to Adam and Hava's opportunity in Gan Eden. There were two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. They are also two stakes in a sense. One is true belief and obedience in Yah's word, and the other is knowledge of good and evil and the doctrine of self-exaltation and religious tradition that makes void the promises of Yehovah. We have to be careful that we don't get caught into religious tradition, because that voids the word of Yehovah. Abraham had a son named Yitzhak. Yitzhak had a son named Yaakov. Yehovah is called the Elohim of Abraham and Yitzhak. But although Yaakov was there to inherit the kingdom, he had to have an experience with Elohim before that could ever happen. Carnal old Yaakov, who deceived his father with covering his arms with goat hair, robbed his twin brother Esav of his birthright, and was coming home to meet the resented Esav after being with Laban, who he cheated as well, for the flock that he got. Yaakov was fearful. He was fearful of what his brother Esav might do to him. In fact, he was so fearful of his brother, he cowardly let all his family go ahead of him. He sent the women and the children and each of his children ahead first. And he stayed behind. In fact, he stayed behind and slept on a rock. And they were still going forward. He did not ever think to dedicate himself or his circumstances of his life to Yah. In Bereshit, Genesis 32, verses 9 to 13, it says, then Yaakov said, Elohim of my father Avraham, and Elohim of my father Yitzhak, Yehovah who told me, return to your country and your kinsmen, I will do you good. I am not worthy of all the love and faithfulness you have shown your servant, since I crossed the Yarden only my staff. But now I have become two camps. Please rescue me from my brother Esav. I'm afraid of him, afraid he'll come and attack me without regard for mothers or children. You said, I will certainly do you good and make your descendants as numerous as the grains of the sand by the sea, which are so many they can't be counted. He stayed there that night. Then he chose from among his possessions the following as a present for Esav, his brother. So he gave him parts of the flock and things to give his brother and sent them ahead. Even though he asked Yah for help, he still did not trust him. Because he sent gifts ahead to Esav. He asked for help and then said, I'll pacify Esav by giving him some sheep. So according to Bereshit 32:20, he was not operating in the kingdom. In Bereshit 32:24-31, it says, and Yaakov was left alone. Then some man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he did not defeat Yaakov, he struck Yaakov's hip socket so that his hip was dislocated while wrestling with him. The man said, let me go because it's daybreak. But Yaakov replied, I won't let you go unless you bless me. The man asked, what is your name? And he answered, Yaakov. And then the man said, from now on you will no longer be called Yaakov, but Yisrael, because you have shown your strength to both Elohim and men and have prevailed. Yaakov asked him, tell me your name. And he answered, why are you asking about my name? And blessed him there. And Yaakov called the place Peniel, face of El, or face of Elohim. Because I have seen Elohim face to face, yet my life is spared. As the sun rose upon him, he went on past Peniel, limping at the hip. This is why to this day the people of Israel do not eat the thigh muscle that passed along the hip socket, because the man struck Yaakov's hip at the socket. Yaakov had that limp for the rest of his life. So he was always remembered just by the limp that he wrestled with Yah. And if he hadn't wrestled with him, then he would not have had the title, the Elohim of Yaakov. Yaakov didn't become serious about things of Yehovah until trouble came into his life. It's a bit late when trouble comes in. We've got to get there before the trouble starts. It wasn't until he sought Yehovah's face and found it that he was changed that day to Israel. And Israel actually means prince with Elohim. Doesn't mean prince of Elohim. It means prince with Elohim. So we get to chapter 33 of Bereshit, and Esav meets him kindly. In Bereshit 33:8-9, Esav asked, what was the meaning of this procession of droves I encountered? And he answered, it was to win my lord's favour. Esav replied, I have plenty already, my brother. Keep your possessions for yourself. Although Yaakov lacked faith and offered bribes, Yah still intervened. And further down in Bereshit 33:18-20, it says, having travelled from Padan Aram, Yaakov arrived safely at the city of Shechem and Canaan and set up camp near the city. From the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 100 pieces of silver the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent. And there he put up an altar and called it El Elohei Yisrael, Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. It wasn't until then that Yaakov finally dedicated himself and went all the way with Yah. Then all the world would know that he was a follower of Yehovah. He would not just say he believed in Yah, or as some people do, I attend church, yes, but I'm not really into it. I'm sort of on the fringes. The church I attend stand for some things, but I don't go along with them, but simply attend. They can accept Yeshua as their Messiah, but this is not until they have a real encounter with him that their salvation becomes real, and then they get serious for the things of Yah. Yaakov went all out for Yehovah, but he needed that personal encounter first. Yaakov was sold out, and Yehovah was now the Elohim of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Elohim, Elohei Yisrael, means the Elohim of Israel. Yaakov entered the kingdom, so to speak, But Yehovah's kingdom is not a pseudo church for pseudo church attenders. There are no people in the kingdom that are half into the things of Yehovah. You can't be half in and half out. You're either all in or all out. It's your choice. Yah knows the hearts of those who are truly dedicated and willing to show the entire world their lives. They discuss him as his son, Yeshua, openly with the people. They take him and his Torah seriously. Shaul said, "To live is Mashiach. To do that is to focus on him and to do as Yeshua did when he walked on earth." I know that seems a tall order, but Yeshua only obeyed the things of the Torah that were applicable to him. He didn't obey the things of the Levite. He didn't obey the things of the Kohanim. He didn't obey any of the things relating to women. He only obeyed the things that were related to him and applicable to him. And that is why we can use him as our example. We can only obey the things of the Torah that are applicable to us as an individual and our unique individual circumstances. And we have to realize that each and every one of us is an individual. Each and every one is unique. Everything's different. Our DNA is different from somebody else's. Even my twin sister and I are so totally different, you'd call us chalk and cheese. You know, we are unique individuals. Yaakov had his name changed and became Israel, a prince with Elohim. Israel travelled through the wilderness and came to the Yarden, or the Jordan River. They would cross into the promised land. Interestingly enough, Moshe told the people that the day they entered the land and crossed over, that is Hebrews, means Hebrews, they became the true people of Elohim. Now was the time for commitment. Now was the time to trust him for everything that he had said. In Deuteronomy, which we read today, 27 verses 9 and 10, it says, "Next Moshe and the Kohanim, who are Levi'im, spoke to all Israel and said, 'Be quiet and listen, Israel. Today you have become the people of Yehovah your Elohim. Therefore you are to listen to what Yehovah your Elohim says and to obey his mitzvot and laws, which I am giving you today.' It was the same day that Israel was to erect the altars of blessings and cursings." Playing with Yehovah Elohim around the perimeters of his kingdom leaves you outside of his will and open for cursings. Saying I'm not that serious and continuing in the works of the flesh, such as hatred, immorality, envying and division, leaves you open for the enemy to defeat you. You may need to move into the new kingdom and take Yah seriously. Commit yourself and your family that is beneath your roof to the things of Yehovah. As Yehoshua said, "As for me and my house." In Yehoshua 24, 13 and 14, it says, "Then I gave you a land where you had not worked, and cities you had not built, and you live there. You eat fruit from vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. Therefore fear Yehovah and serve him truly and sincerely. Put away the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve Yehovah. For if it seems bad to you to serve Yehovah, then choose today whom you are going to serve. Will it be the gods of your ancestors served beyond the river, or the gods of the Emori, those whose land you are living? As for me and my household, we will serve Yehovah." Yaakov crossed over at this very place. Therefore, there had to be no more fooling around. He made Yehovah Elohim his Yah and let the entire world know it was by building a monument. At the same place, Yehoshua told the people to be like Yaakov, right there, they had to take Yehovah seriously. It's amazing that it's the same place where Yaakov built his monument that Yehoshua built one also, as ordered by Yehovah. Yah is not a part-time Elohim for a school of jellyfish believers. He needs us to have a backbone. Jellyfish don't have backbones. He needs us to have strength and determination to follow him and his Torah. Yeshua took the disciples to the very same town where Yaakov made his stand, where Yehoshua told Israel to make their stand for Elohim at Shechem. And he spoke of the seriousness of a believer's faith. There Yeshua said the true water is the living Ruach HaKodesh, and the true food is doing Yehovah's will, and the true tabernacle is worshipping him in the Ruach, or spirit, and in truth. Yah brings us into the borders of the kingdom and says, this is all yours, but take me seriously. Make me publicly known in your life. Let your friends, your workmates, your family see you take the stand. Let them see the change that is in you. Use wisdom and do not make a reproach of Yah. Do not keep him hidden in your life. Like Yehoshua saying that you have olive groves and vineyards you do not plant, Yeshua said the same at the town of Shechem, that you will reap where you did not sow. So let us compare those words. Excuse me. In Yehoshua 24:13, it says, and I gave you a land where you had not worked, and cities you had not built, and you lived there. You eat fruit from the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. And in Yochanan chapter 4, verse 38, it says, I sent you to reap what you haven't worked for. Others have done the labor, and you have benefited from their work. Yeshua offered the true kingdom blessings to the woman at the well, at the same town, Shechem, which Minister Yitzhak showed us as a powerful video last Shabbat. The blessings were a reversal from the curse. In Bereshit 33, verses 17 to 19, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife, what your wife said, and ate from the tree about which I gave you an order, you are not to eat from it. The ground is cursed on your account. You will work hard to eat from it as long as you live. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat field plants. You will eat bread by the sweat of your forehead till you return to the ground. For you were taken out of it, and you are dust, and you will return to dust. The ground became cursed, so then they had to eat by the sweat of their brow. They now had to work for their food. In the kingdom of Yehovah, we do not work for our spiritual food. Yeshua said we would receive that which they did not sow nor work for. In the flesh, we work to eat natural food, but in the kingdom of Elohim, we do not. Adam and Hava did not have to work for their food in Gan Eden. Adam, man, was cursed once they ate from that tree. At Shechem, Israel would be confronted with blessings and cursings. And today we are also confronted with blessings and curses. This is the kingdom of Elohim now. We are already in his land. This is serious business. You need to take your commitment, make your commitment right now, or walk away. Commit and enter into a world of blessings. But it will cost you if you continue doing your own thing. It will cost you your will for Yah's. He will not bless you if you choose to walk in your own ways. Your choice is between the fruit of life or the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is doing your own thing your own way. It is religion, it's traditions, it's will of self. It's making yourself look good by religion. It's living for Yah without direction from the scriptures and especially the Torah. So let us eat life. Let us enjoy kingdom blessings now. Let us make it be a determined effort to inherit the kingdom of Elohim. We are in the sixth month of the sixth biblical month, a time of repentance and recommitting our lives to Yah as we lead up to Yom Kippur, which is in a few short weeks from today. What commitment are you going to make to ready yourself for the Day of Atonement? Maybe you want to fast and pray during this time. I'm not saying fasting of food only. I believe Yah has to speak to you especially about what you need to fast about, especially if you're on medication, you should never fast food. If you take medication that needs to be taken with food, never fast food. But you can fast. Many things that come into mind. You can fast TV. You can fast your daily coffee, the favourite coffee shop. You can fast internet games. You can fast looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. You know in your spirit what is not completely in line with Yah. Now's the time to let it go and fast those things forever. Let the Ruach HaKadosh drop into your mind what to give up. And every time you would normally do that, whatever it is, repent and pray. Go to his word. Let his word speak to you daily, so that by the time we get to Yom Kippur, in about 2.5 weeks' time, you will be ready. Let us become true children of the kingdom. So are there any questions?
I just had something on the curses and blessings. We're reading today about there's a curse on anyone who doesn't confirm the words of the Torah and to do them. So it seems to me that it also says in Genesis that there's no curses that can be placed on Israel, the people of Israel. So it seems to me that that's talking, the Genesis part is talking about external curses from, you know, soothsayers and all of that side of it. But if you disobey the Torah, then there's a natural curse that's sort of that's involved with that. It's like a punishment for your disobedience that comes from Yehovah, just for not doing it, because it says there's a curse for not actually confirming and then doing, because it specifically says you actually have to do it, and you can't just believe it. So it seems like there's two different types of curses that he talks about. One from an external source, like soothsayers and stuff, think that they can place curses on people. Like I think it was Balaam and Balak were talking about cursing, trying to curse Israel.
But that still was against Yah's word.
Yeah.
He couldn't put the curse on them because Yehovah wouldn't let him. Would only let him bless them.
Yeah, but then
so that's got, you know,
it's different to the internal curse that comes from your disobedience. If you're a believer, if you go and then disobey Yah's word, there's sort of ramifications for those disobediences. That's sort of how I read it.
Well, they're totally different. And then one was a prophet, and he was, you know, he was supposed to curse someone, and he couldn't do it because Yehovah wouldn't let him. But so there was no curse involved. But the curses come by disobedience to the Torah. Even Adam and Hava were cast out of Gan Eden because they disobeyed Yehovah's Torah. They disobeyed his word. So that's why they were cursed, and that's why they had to work by the fruit, by the sweat of their brow, purely and simply because they disobeyed his word. We cannot disobey Yah's word and expect to get off scot-free. We will get cursed. It's up to us what we choose. So, no more questions. We will move on to the remembrance service. Here we go.